Hi, folks. This is CBD of the Cut Jib Newsletter, Worldwide Broadcasting and Car Wash Center. I'm coming from you from literally sunny Paris. We've had a string oh boy, 10 days of just absolutely perfect weather here, and I sort of understand what they talk about when they talk about spring in Paris. Anyway, summer won't be as fun. But I'm here today with, as usual, with my friend and partner, JJ Sefton. He is coming to you from the wilds of Wisconsin. How are you doing, Sefton?
I am doing okay, my friend. Sorry I missed last week's podcast with Jim Lakely and Christian Toto. Boy, that was a great one. But thank those guys for a great show and you, and it was a good one. So we'll have them back again, I'm sure, together, separately, whatever it is, and
Yeah,
another.
they went
They were
together
great.
well. I should have just shut the fuck up and let them talk. In
They're
fact,
all.
that's going to be my plan next time. So,
Me, not so much. There you go.
yeah.
But anyway, things are going well, and I'm back on track and raring to go, and lots to talk about as usual. You have the agenda, sir, so I'll let you kick it off.
Oh, that sounds fancy. I have the agenda. Yeah, we spent 15 seconds talking about what we're going to talk about. Anyway, I think the first interesting thing that's going on, obviously, is the ups and downs of the stock market, mostly downs, unfortunately, for the short term, and the tariffs that President Trump and his administration are putting on pretty much everybody in the world. Whether they are going to work and refocus our manufacturing to domestic rather than foreign manufacturing is a question that nobody can answer right now. We simply don't know what will work. But I think that what has been going on, what the status quo has been for the last 50 or 60 years has not worked. We've hollowed out our own manufacturing. We've created a generation of people who can't or perhaps won't work. And I think that it's time for a change. My personal opinion is that it will work, especially since Donald Trump is not as doctrinaire as he sounds. He is very willing to accommodate people who accommodate him. I think that is at least part of the plan. So we shall see how it goes.
Indeed. And I think, and I've been giving a lot of thought, I'm no economics wizard, but there's a lot more at stake merely than resetting the fairness and the balance of trade at work here. It is about, as you, there is a battle in a way for rejiggering American, not just bringing back manufacturing, but the whole essence of the notion of work and the work ethic, which has been lacking. And I talked about this morning on the Morning Report editorial. And it's a multi-front effort. So if tariffs help, and also the whole DOGE push to wipe out as much of the bureaucracy that hamstrings manufacturing and enterprise in this country, and also creates a welfare state of people that are dependent on the state to be mother and father, and so on and so forth. It's a multi-front war for the culture, for the economy, and yes, tariffs alone won't bring manufacturing back. But we talked about this before many times. How about a tax break for anybody who opens a manufacturing plant or facility in this country? Give them tax 10 years tax free. And then a reduced rate to hire Americans and to train Americans and to bring those, and that's what really is going to be the influencer. But it, beyond that, regardless, yes, we should not be outsourcing our manufacturing overseas, especially when you consider 99% or however many percent of our pharmaceuticals are manufactured in Red China, which is our enemy. That is an intolerable situation.
Oh,
So everything
that I
from
agree with
computer chips
completely.
to pharmaceuticals, to textiles, all of this, and steel, all of this was unnecessary. But there's a lot of blame to go around. Yes, when labor is cheap to non-existent and regulations are non-existent overseas, I can almost not blame someone from saying to hell with it, throwing it all in and just building a plant over somewhere where they don't care whether you dump dioxin in a river, and they don't care whether you employ Uyghur slave labor to build your sneak to make your sneakers. So, there's a lot
Yeah,
of blame to go around.
I agree. It is tempting from a probably medium term financial perspective to outsource as much as possible when the labor is so inexpensive. the question is, should the United States care whether a widget being made in China or Vietnam or Zambia is made with slave labor? Is it our business? Should we be concerned? I think that we should be concerned. I don't think that we should change our foreign policy to change their labor practices. There are bad actors in the world. There have been forever, and there will be forever. I think that we need to look domestically before we start to try to change the world. And I don't think Donald Trump is trying to change the world from that perspective. So that was just sort of a rumination.
When you talk about slave labor, and this is the whole argument that so many people, and unfortunately, including, the Chamber of Commerce, nudnik globalists, they talk about we need, it's doing the jobs that Americans won't do. Well, damn it, why won't Americans do those jobs? Well, when you import 11 million or 40 million foreigners to work for peanuts for nothing, and it's unregulated, untaxed, unwhatever. You're gonna. It's basically. It is slave labor, in a way. We have this execrable. We said we wouldn't talk about it. This Jasmine Crockett talking about
Oh,
we
God.
need a legal. We need a li We need a little illegal immigration because black men won't be picking cotton no more, or whatever.
Yeah,
And it's
folks,
just.
I don't
But
know
it's
if you
sensitive. That's
realize this,
what it is.
but cotton has been picked mechanically for probably 80
80,
years.
90 years. Yeah.
Yeah, it's crap.
It's just, but again, that's just a racialist comment to sort
Yeah,
of
of
stir
course.
up
She's a
the usual
moron.
knuckleheads.
Actually, you know something?
But
We shouldn't call her a moron. I'm going to bet that her ridiculous out of control blathering resonates in her district. Now, her
sadly,
district is
yes.
about 35% Hispanic or Hispanic American. I'm not really sure that about that. So I wonder if in the long term it's going to bite her in the ass, and I hope it does. But it this might resonate in her district. So who knows?
Well, as I mentioned in this, Cesar Chavez, who was a leftist hero for many years, was railing against illegal immigration because it cut the wages of legal citizens, his constituents in the UFW, the United Farm Workers, and he was railing against it. Now, of course, he's a persona non grata of the left, I would imagine,
That's because they
because of
have
that.
no idea who Cesar Chavez really was. Well, he was a communist too,
Of course.
but yeah,
What do you
he wanted no labor imported from anywhere. He wanted farm workers in his union to be making $25 an hour, picking whatever strawberries in the Imperial Valley.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, whatever the cost to do the job is one issue, but he was right about, yes, it should only be citizens who are having these jobs. A foreigner who is working for peanuts, as opposed to whatever it is per hour, is not good for the American economy and the American worker. He was right about that. And of course, today, as I said, forget it. Nobody wants, the left doesn't want to hear that.
Well, the reality is that eventually the work will get done. If the labor becomes extraordinarily pricey, then corporations will look for alternatives and consumers will look for alternatives. If lettuce is $5 a head or $10 a head, then people will look for alternatives. That's how labor markets work. But that's how the economy works. But I don't know. I think it's overblown that Americans just won't do the work. They will do the work. We have to change the culture, and I think it that
Exactly.
that's and you I'm, I know you address this at length on the Morning Report over at Ace of Spades, but oh, it's going to be interesting. So anyway, let's move on to something
Absolutely.
else. I saw something in the news that I thought was quite interesting. The Israeli government tossed out two British members of parliament because they came to do evil in Israel, and the typical the laborites over in Britain were incensed that how dare Israel treat their parliamentarians in this high-handed a fashion. The reality, of course, is that Britain has done that in the past to foreign politicians. They wanted to keep Donald Trump out of Great Britain. They wanted to keep Geert Wilders out of Great Britain, or the United Kingdom, rather. It's not great anymore. And I think they've done it a couple other times to foreign politicians. So It's just, typical leftist bullshit that they're flinging. Anyway, I just wanted to point out the hypocrisy of the left in the world.
Well,
I
of
know
course,
we
and
never do
look what
that.
they're doing to Marine Le Pen in France. Whatever you think about her and her father's past, and but which you know whatever shades certainly sh perhaps shades their, but Marine Le Pen is recognizes the evil and dangers of mass migration, especially from Islamic nations into France, and you witness it firsthand, I'm sure, sometimes in strolling around Paris, CBD. But but so they want to shut her up and shut her down. Because she is a threat to globalist power.
That's very interesting. I've been looking around very carefully, and the hijabs in Paris are few and far between, and that makes me happy. Now, I'm in central Paris. I am not out on the periphery where the real scum lives, but the influence that I see in central Paris is minimal. I might contrast that to London, where it seems, every clerk in every department store is wearing a hijab, and they're all over the place. And the anti-Israel and anti-Jewish graffiti, or anti-Zionist graffiti, is obvious. In Paris, it is not obvious. Now, that doesn't mean much, because the real violence against Jews in France is worse than it is in the United Kingdom. Whether they see Paris as as sort of the jewel in their crown, and they're very careful not to allow it, I don't know. I don't know that much about the French politics. Wouldn't surprise me, but who knows? Anyway,
Indeed.
yeah.
Well,
So let's come back to the United States for just a bit. Chris Cuomo, who is the ex-governor of New York's brother, was on Bill Maher recently, and Bill Maher told him that he thinks his brother's mayoral bid is going to go up in flames. Andrew Cuomo, I don't know if he has declared, but he has certainly talked about running for the New York City mayor's office. And I think that would be very, very interesting to see what would happen. I think that the left would destroy itself with a Andrew Cuomo candidacy. What do you think? You're a New Yorker, so.
well, I'm a former New Yorker, but I do agree with you. I think there are two issues that are dogging Cuomo. One of them, I believe, people are still seething about and know the fact that Andrew Cuomo's policies during the COVID lockdowns killed thousands of senior citizens by forcing sick people to live in nursing homes who otherwise would not perhaps have died from COVID. They know about that, and people are upset about that. The other thing is, I don't think he's, I mean, sure, he's a lefty, of course, but I don't think he's loony lefty enough. I don't know what his stance was on the anti-Semitism and on the college campuses during and post to October 7th,
He was
but
against
there's
it,
another,
but it's easy to be against it.
right, but there's another candidate who I believe is a Muslim who is running, and we'll see if, if this vermin has a chance of winning it. And, of course, the New York party politics, the city is really in large part controlled, not necessarily out of Albany, although there is influence there, but it's the city council that runs a lot of that makes a lot of the determinations. And the city council is and has been for many, many, many years hard left.
Yeah,
And
folks,
so.
when Sefton says hard left, he's not joking. These are Marxists. These are Stalinists. Some of them are Maoists. It's insane. Mayor Adams is a leftist, obviously, and he is the voice of reason in New York City, which is terrifying to me. So I
Exactly.
think I Sefton, I think you're correct. I think that Andrew Cuomo is not hard left enough for New York City. Or at least to fit into the politics of New York City.
We shall see, though, if the open anti-Semitism, especially at Columbia and all the other college campuses and so on and so forth, is enough to derail someone such as this. I forget his name, and not that I really want to remember who is running, or any other leftist candidate who is, trying to prevent the deportation of this Khalil jackass and the other fomenters of and promoters of Hamas on campuses. So can they get someone who is at least able to hide or shield their Maoism to a greater or lesser extent? That is the great question. Who knows? I don't know if there even is there a candidate out there that exists that could run, that could be moderate. Maybe Andrew Cuomo is about as moderate as it gets, and that's, you know, with a big asterisk.
Well,
But I
Curtis
think
Lee was running again, isn't he?
that's, well, he's on the GOP side.
Yeah,
I'm not sure,
he
but
thinks he's going to win.
I think he thought he was going to win last time, but you know, hey, God love you, Curtis, and believe me, I appreciate all you've done for the city over the years. But you never know. One never knows. Of course, the
Well,
cheat machine, I'm sure, will be in full effect, like it was during the 2020 elections
yeah,
with
but who do you cheat?
Rezeldin.
Who do they cheat for?
There you go.
I have no idea. How do
Well,
you how do you run a cheat in New York City?
Rezeldin.
Which lunatic leftist is going to get the cheat?
Again, I don't know. It used to be years ago when I was there, it was always knuckleheads like this Mark Green. It was Gregory Meeks. It was all these sort of acolytes of Al Sharpton and company that were always seemingly in the mix. C. Vernon Mason, there's a name from the past, but I think that those guys are physically dead, if not politically dead.
Yeah.
So
So the guy you were talking about is a guy named Zoran Mamdani. He's a
there you
New
go.
York Assembly member from Queens. And boy, oh boy, I'm reading some of his stuff and he's a fucking lunatic. Freeze rent, mass transit free, childcare free, public supermarkets, and of course, what do they call it? Dumping Israel on the side of the road. There's a political term for it. I've forgotten. What did they call it?
It's the BDS thing.
Yeah, BDS. But they anyway. Yeah. So what is that?
It's called the final solution, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know
Yeah.
what the how you say that in Jive or in New Yorkese, but whatever.
Yeah. This is unbelievable. Let's see who else is running. Brad Lander, who's the New York City comptroller. He's just a
Controller,
doctrinaire leftist. Yeah, that's fine.
yeah. He may be the safe choice, but again, who knows? New
Yeah,
York is screwed. New York is
one
so screwed.
yeah, the Speaker of the New York City Council's running. A former comptroller.
Hevesy?
This is the one I remember. Yeah, Jessica Ramos. She's a state senator representing Queens. She's a good one. Boy, I'm looking at this list and folks, it's scary. It's amazing. So, which of these lunatics is going to be the mayor of New York? You think Adams has a chance?
Well, is he running again?
Yeah, he's running as an independent.
Oh, that's right. Well, I'm happy about that because he might help. Who knows? Maybe he might help Sliwa get in. But if he would win as an independent, that would be insane.
Yeah, that'd be wild. So, anyway, so what else we have?
So we have that. We have President Trump is now was sitting down with Bibi Netanyahu, and he is trying to get to ha have talks with Iran, which I think is, I mean, I don't know, you know, that doesn't, you know, who he, does he not realize with whom he's talking? That's it's this is Iran, Mr. President. They want the bomb, they're going to get the bomb, and I believe me, I'm not rooting for America to go to war with Iran, but the fact of the matter is, any talks you get, you're just wasting your time if you think you're going to get them to get any, can give any kind of conciliations, especially when it comes to the state of Israel. But who knows?
Well, yeah. Trump likes to talk. He likes to try to make a deal, and it makes sense. I
Yeah.
think that he's overreaching when it comes to Iran. As you say, they're not going to change. They'll make noises to, and they'll pretend to change, but they will not change. And I think that Israel realizes that.
Exactly.
So, yeah, sure, let him talk for a little while, but, he's been pretty adamant about that they're not going to get the bomb. Now, whether that's sort of over the top Donald Trump, or if he's serious about that, remains to be seen. But
Well, he's echoing Bibi Netanyahu's pledge, and
yeah.
that means not letting them get the bomb means literally, bombing their going to war with them, attacking them.
Well, I don't know. You see, that's the thing. We need to allow the Iranian people, the Persian people, to
Yes.
overthrow the mullahs. And I wrote about this on Ace of Spades recently. The problem is that the United States supports the wrong people. The CIA and the State Department are just
Right.
catastrophically stupid when it comes to Iran. They don't know
Yep.
what the hell is going on. In fact, Congress just not just, but recently passed a resolution in support of I've forgotten which one of the terrorist groups.
The MEK.
The MEK. I mean, they're now political. I think they've renounced terrorism. But the head of the MEK is a woman who wears a hijab, and the women who are being beaten and murdered in Iran are fighting against the hijab. So to put them up as paragons of Iranian freedom is insane, and they're not supported within Iran. So the United States has to change their perspective and get some better information about what is actually going on inside Iran before
And
anything
who's
we
ever at
do
the
has any effect.
right, who's ever is at the Near East desk, I think, is either still, who knows if they're a holdout from the typical foggy bottom mentalities about
Yeah.
Iran or not, or they're just clueless. There were a couple of interesting articles I had in the morning report today. One is claiming that Iran is really in deep trouble because they have a severe water crisis going on, and along with a faltering economy and other things, they're, potential for interior unrest to topple the mullahs. And there was also another great article about proposing, maybe it was on Front Page Mag, the great resource, about the potential, when we should push for it, a U.S. Azerbaijani-Israeli alliance, of a security alliance in the Southern Caucasus. And that's an interesting proposition, because Azerbaijan is literally neighboring to the
Yeah.
north and west of Iran, and that was a route that, oh, many years ago, that Israel they would allow Israel to station its warplanes there if they ever wanted to attack and take out the Iranian nuke facilities. And
Gee,
of
what
course,
happened?
our great, wonderful, fearless leader, Barack Hussein, dog-eated Obama, tipped them off, tipped the Iranians off to it, and so there went that potential, route of attack across the Sea of, I think it's the Sea of Azov, if I'm not, or near, they have their planes based in
I
Baku.
think it's the Caspian, isn't it?
Caspian Sea, excuse me, yes, not the
Yeah.
Azov. It's the Caspian. And their planes were stationed near Baku, and that would have been a much, like, literally half the flying time. And it would have given them the ability to strike, return safely, refuel, whatever, without any, with minimal risk, and carry a big enough payload to get the job done.
Yeah.
But thank you, Obama.
He was a, well, let's not get into Obama. I
No.
think that the United States does not have to join in. Perhaps logistics support for Israel. Big bombs. Selling Israel big bombs to get the job done is important. I don't know that Israel can complete the job, but I'm a little concerned about the saber rattling from President Trump. I would prefer that he not do that. Now Israel has taken out a lot of Iran's anti-aircraft infrastructure. Their missile
Well, I think
systems
all
were
of it.
destroyed in the last strike by Israel on Iran. So that is a very, very good thing. The last thing on earth I want is a bunch of American pilots held captive by the mad mullahs.
Yeah,
Which I don't
that
think would happen. I think that we're far more sophisticated than anything Iran can put up. But it's always a risk, and Israel needs to take that risk, not the United States. We can do all the other stuff, which is perfectly okay with me. It's not even that expensive. But boots on the ground or pilots in the air, I think we should probably draw the line unless it really is imminent that the mullahs are going to build a bomb and launch. What do you think?
Right, because they do have the missiles. Can
Yeah,
they
they're
make a
not
warhead?
particularly accurate, which really doesn't matter with a nuclear device. If you can destroy a half mile square area, that's huge, or a mile square area, that's tremendous. And that would destroy Israel. But Israel has plans. I don't think that anything will get launched out of Iran unless Israel is unless Israel is occupied on several other fronts. And since Iran's proxies have been almost destroyed, that is probably not going to happen.
Right. So hopefully they or who with us, we can foment or help the whatever internal resistance there may be. And if there is any, like I said, if whether just natural deterioration or otherwise sabotage of whatever critical infrastructure within Iran could help topple the government, that certainly would be a good thing, provided that a sane government takes its place and not just, Mullah too, Ayatollah Khomeini Boogaloo. We've seen enough of that crap. But I think the Iranian people are fed up with that. They don't want it. They're done with
I
it.
certainly hope so. We shouldn't call them Iranian. We should call them Persians.
Persian. Okay.
Yeah. So speaking of crazy imams, Governor Shapiro of Pennsylvania just gave $5 million to a mosque whose imam had declared that Jews are the vilest people. It's the Al-Aqsa Islamic Society in Philadelphia, and how Pennsylvania gets to spend money on the Al-Aqsa Islamic Society in Philadelphia is a question for the voters of Pennsylvania. Why this is allowed is ridiculous. I guess they have a community center or something like that, and that's where it is. But that's
Maybe
just
Josh
insane.
Shapiro, maybe Josh Shapiro is trying to make up for the fact that he was passed over because for Tim Walz. So there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The thing is that Shapiro's a smart guy. Walz is a moron.
Walz is a total moron.
So we might very well have dodged a bullet there.
Absolutely. My God. Just madness.
Anyway. So there was an interesting article in the Federalist that despite the disappointing result of the Wisconsin Supreme Court election, that the That
That was rigged.
Wisconsin's, what's that?
That was rigged.
Yeah, I know.
I'm
But that
sorry.
despite that the congressional maps are probably not going to change. Now, this is the Federalist, so, maybe it is,
Well,
maybe it isn't. But
the Federalist is pretty good on those kind of stories. They have a very good pulse on election shenanigans as well as elections in general. I go to them quite often. Other things, whatever, but. And I certainly know because one of the seats they're going after is my rep, who's Brian Stile, who's quite good.
Well, there's a organization called the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, which is a law firm, and they said that there are significant legal problems in both state and federal court, and they're probably unlikely to succeed if they try to gerrymander this. So,
Thank God.
yeah, thank God for small favors.
Absolutely. But there was also in the Federalist, there was, as we know, on election night, there was, I mean, naked in your face shenanigans going on in Milwaukee. And that's likely where the theft took place. Election observers being kicked out, windows being taped over. Gee, where have we seen that before? When? Detroit, Wayne County, and in 2020. And so they did it here in Milwaukee. It's like, and I mean, and my big peeve is we knew this election was coming, ever since the knucklehead announced that she was retiring, whatever it was, like 6, 7, 8, 9 months ago. Where was the federal GOP? Where was the Wisconsin GOP on this to try to put the to put whatever safeguards they could put in place to prevent this? Well, the answer is, of course, they were nowhere, to the best of my knowledge.
That's depressing. Thanks. Really
That
appreciate
is,
that.
I'm sorry, but look, it is what it is. And, I escaped New York and came here and hoped for, sanity. And unfortunately, ugh.
Yeah. So Abigail Disney is one of the heirs of Disney, obviously. And she's a leftist lunatic. But she was interviewed in The Guardian recently, and she did not sound happy about the state of the Democrat Party. And I think that's wonderful. I think that when their big donors are upset, and she is absolutely a big donor, that it bodes well for America. Now, that being said, there's a huge issue with that, and that is the Republican Party, because as you just described, they're a bunch of feckless idiots. They can't do anything. And it's pathetic that the Republican Party isn't running to destroy the remnants of every Democrat organization in all 50 states. They have done very, very little. And I have to assume that that is by plan. They like the status quo. Now, I'm not talking about conservatives who vote Republican, obviously, because I'm a conservative who votes Republican because I have no other choice. I'm talking about the Republican structure, the corporate Republicans. And they, I think, are missing a huge, huge opportunity to solidify the gains that Republican and conservative movements in the United States have made over the last couple of years. But
Here, just to
that's nothing
underscore, here,
special. And
just to
that's
under,
nothing new.
no, just to underscore that this is like will make your head explode, like a Hamas pager, whatever. But there was an article I had that supposedly Republicans are considering, get this, tax increases,
Oh, that's
and it's
nice.
like, are you guys out of your effing minds? I mean, with what we're trying to do, with I mean, it's just you just got to like bang your head against a freaking wall. I mean, dear Lord. So, I mean, I saw a nice, the one thing, I mean, whether he has a chance, I don't know, but Ken Paxton, the AG of Texas, is planning on primarying John Cornyn. So that to me sound, you know,
I think
I
he'll beat
hope
him.
he's, I mean,
Cornyn
I think he will
is
beat him.
not loved in Texas, and Paxton,
Not at
I
all.
think people respect him.
He's a good guy. I think
Yeah.
so, from what I understand.
Speaking of tax increases, the Heartland Institute just came out with an interesting article yesterday, I think, that they found
Yes.
that the Trump tax cuts w gave the largest portion of it, the largest benefits, I guess, to working class Americans and not the rich. Now, obviously, by percentage, the rich got a bigger tax cut because they pay more, but the largest benefits went to working class Americans. I think that's a very, very important thing, and one that something that needs to be publicized. Gee,
Well,
I wonder if the
of course.
Republican Party even knows this. Probably not. And if they do, they don't care.
I mean, again, it's yeah. I mean, the drumbeat is the constant. Yeah, tax cuts for the wealthiest, and you know, the tax cuts for billionaires and million. And it's like, dear Lord. But yeah, this is that's a good thing. So Trump's tax cuts actually worked, and as promised, that li it lifted everybody's boat. And as you say, yeah, you make more money, you'll pay more. You make less money, you'll pay less. I mean, but that's just that's you know, but that's common sense. But of course, do we expect people to use their common sense? Of course not.
No.
But as I said, just to reiterate, it would be nice if, along with the tariffs and all the other things, there really should be major, major tax incentives for companies to build and invest in factories here on our shores. And it would also be nice to put trade schools or apprenticeship programs or anything right next to the factory or in the factory and train people who want to learn how to weld, who want to learn how to do, you know, plumbing, woodworking, you name it, to build things and to make things. This is what will truly make America, if you want to say, make America great again. That will really do the trick. You can have all the factories you want, but unless you have the people who know how to use the equipment and the machinery and fix the machinery, it ain't going to be worth a damn. It won't last long.
You know, I wonder how much of this this lost generation of, I think it's 6 or 7 million men in the United States who choose not to work. I wonder how much of that is a result of the war on men that has been conducted by the ed our educational system
Indeed.
and by the left
Quite a lot.
for the
Quite a lot.
last
Yep.
20 years.
If I think a very large portion of that, I
Yeah.
think men have been well, now physically with transgenderism and emotionally and mentally emasculated for a long, long time. They're targeted as evil. It's when you say that when the term toxic masculinity, it just didn't come up out of nowhere. It's to demonize men, period, end of story. But as far as and I'm on pushing 65. And let me tell you something, if I had the opportunity to roll up my sleeves and work somewhere, and even at my old age, to learn a trade, I would do it. But you know.
I learned how to weld in high school, which
In
I thought
college,
was,
didn't you?
I just loved it. It was an absolute blast. I wasn't very good at it, but that doesn't matter. And I, yeah, if I had continued that, I could be a welder right now.
There you go. Well, I'll
Yeah.
tell you a funny story. I learned how to weld many, many moons ago with a world-renowned in an art class with a world-renowned metal sculptor who gave this very, very passionate speech on the first day of class. He went on about 20 minutes about the beauty of the material and people like Picasso and Julio Gonzalez and so on and so on and so on and Alexander Calder. And at the end of the speech, he said, "If nothing else, people, if you get nothing else out of this course, at the very end of the day, you'll be able to work in an auto body shop." Well, I'll never forget that.
There's a motorcycle firing up outside my window. Sorry about that.
What's that?
Yeah, but that's but there's nothing wrong with that.
No, nothing wrong at all.
You know, I worked as a carpenter for a little while, and the satisfaction of you know wrapping up at 4 or 4:30 and looking back and seeing, oh look, there's you know I installed that door, I framed out that wall, I you know I built that. It's a tremendously satisfying feeling, and I think that. While I'm sure that building websites is it can be very, very satisfying, I think that the combination of using one's intellect and using one's body to create is something very, very special.
Absolutely. Agreed. As a artist and a creator myself, I absolutely echo that sentiment. And here's hoping that we have generations of boys and men, and girls and women too. Nothing wrong with it, really. I don't mind. Who get that satisfaction and can, maintain, build the machines, maintain the machines, and build the businesses that build things and build the country, and that. I mean, hoping if Donald Trump's election and this process, however long it'll take, we may not see it in our lifetimes, but if it takes whatever, then America truly will be on the road to a renaissance.
Yeah.
Here's hoping.
Yeah, here's hoping. Anyway, I actually am on a bit of a schedule, so I would like to wrap this up.
Yes, sir.
Folks, thank you very, very much for listening. Thank you for hitting the tip jar. Thank you for mixing up in the comments, mostly over at Ace of Spades, but sometimes at Cut Jib Newsletter. Also, I just want to remind you that that our feeds at Spotify and Apple and even on Amazon are fixed, and I take all the blame for them not being fixed for a very, very long time. So I apologize. So it
Absolutely.
should be working seamlessly. Anyway, I'll see you next week, and I'm sure Sefton will too. Sefton, take it away.
You bet. Thank you so much, my friends, for all your good wishes and support, tip jar comments, just being there for us and doing what you do every day just to make what we do worthwhile, and we love it so much, and we appreciate you more than words can express. So with that, you've been listening to Cut Jib Newsletter Speaks on the worldwide global podcast broadcast network of Cut Jib Newsletter across the world, around the nation, and up your street. Until next time, God bless you all.
Thanks for listening, folks.